Let's read together in God's Word in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 10 at verse 1. You'll find this on page 146. Now, we're beginning a series which we'll be following in our evening services throughout the season of Lent, looking at the experience of the people of God as they travelled out of slavery and into the promised land. A journey that took longer than they expected, but in which they encountered many challenges as well as blessings. And we focus tonight on an instruction that was given to Moses in order to regulate and organize the community of God's people. Numbers 10 at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out. When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you. When a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be the signal for setting out. To gather the assembly, blow the trumpets, but not with the same signal. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you and for the generations to come. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. Also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivals, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before God. I am the Lord your God." Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. Now let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks that as we seek to live for Christ, you strengthen us with the presence of your Holy Spirit and enable us by your word to travel in the way that is pleasing to you. So we pray that everything that we gather from your word tonight would help us as we seek to be faithful. And may that heart be placed in us which will do everything for the glory of Jesus' name and him alone. Amen. Friends, there is a word which seemingly is much beloved of modern theologians, and I'm sure you've heard it. It's the word liminal. I'm seeing kind of blank stares round about me. What it means is a state of in-betweenness. What it means is you're in a state of moving from one position to another. You're in a process of transition. You're in a place where you're, in a sense, standing on both sides of a threshold. Are you with me? Okay. I haven't done too bad. You're in between two particular states of being. And that is what we're talking about when we're looking into the book of Numbers. Now, the title kind of gives it away in many ways because, yes, it's full of statistics concerning the people of God and the tribes. And there are times when, as there are parts of Scripture where it's fairly heavy going. But out of this experience, this liminal experience of the people of God, I believe that there are very strong principles for us to gather to ourselves as the church at this moment in history, as we are in that state of in-betweenness, when we are travelling towards the fulfilment of God's kingdom. The Hebrew people, those people called into being by God, they were on a journey from slavery to nationhood. They had emerged from that time of darkness in their history when they were slaves in Egypt, and they're traveling towards this land that God has promised, when once again they would realize themselves as a nation. This was their journey, and they were moving towards the end in anticipation. It did entail a period of living in the wilderness. That's not hard to do when you're living in a country 60 to 70% of which is desert. But they were having to travel through a wilderness, and the journey, due to their own disobedience, due to their own rebellion against God, that journey was made longer, and we'll come to that as we go through the selected passages in the weeks to come. But this time in the wilderness was a formative time for them. It was a time when they learned more about themselves, but perhaps more importantly, they learned more about their gods, the one who had brought them out of slavery, who was present with them, and who would establish them in the lands that he had promised. Now, it's a common experience in Scripture, this wilderness experience. Remember Moses, before he became the great liberator of his people, he spent time in the wilderness looking after the sheep of his father-in-law. It was in the wilderness that he had that encounter with God in the burning bush that was not consumed. Then there was John the Baptist. We believe that he spent much of his adult life in the desert until that moment when he emerged and declared his presence to the community of Israel, and declared the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus, after his baptism, there was that crucial moment when the Holy Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, where he would encounter his spiritual adversary. So the wilderness, the desert, is an important place in the experience of God's people. And quite often you'll hear it used as a metaphor in the normal course of human living, for people of faith as well as people of no faith. You know, there are these times when Winston Churchill is constantly being cited, largely I think because of the very successful film that's on the go at the moment. Well, there was that time, quite a long period in his life, when he fell out of favour, when he was very unpopular, when people didn't trust him, they were suspicious of him. He didn't have any access to the seats of power. And when he was looking back on those years, he described them as the wilderness years. And perhaps some of us have gone through times when it seemed that we've been set apart from the normal run of our human activities because our health has broken down, or because we've been unemployed, or because circumstances in our families have taken us out, as it were, and we've had to spend that time in the wilderness of human experience. It's never a very pleasant thing. No one would want to look back on these times and say that they were wholly good. But what we do know is that they can be productive. Because whatever our experiences, whatever we're having to go through, our God is with us. And it's a challenging thought, but it emerges time and time again in the Scriptures that times of hardship, times of suffering, can be used in the hand of God to shape us and mold us more closely to His will for us. When we're talking about the wilderness experience, though, in the book of Numbers, then it's real. It's not a metaphor. It's something that the people of God had to pass through. And what mattered was how they emerged from this time. And as I said before, this is very much the experience of the church. I don't mean because in the Church of Scotland we're using influence, we're losing numbers, we're losing a lot of things. Let's not dwell on that too much tonight. But the church in general throughout the world, whatever state she's in, whether she's in a time of revival or a time of stagnation or a time of decline, as the people of God, we're in between. We're moving towards that time when the promises of God will be fulfilled completely, not just for us as individuals, but for the whole of creation. The past is behind us and the kingdom is before us. And the people of God in numbers were moving towards the fulfillment of the promises of God. Now, what have trumpets got to do with this? As you noticed in our passage, it was of great importance to God that His people be organized, that there would be a shape to their community living. And to help with the organization of this vast number of people, He commanded that these trumpets be made. And emerging from this, we see certain features which became important for God's people and which I would argue are still important for the people of God in our day and age. The trumpets were sounded whenever it was time for the people of God to come together. We see this in verse 1. God said to Moses, "Make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together." Verse 3, "When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Now these were a people who were very conscious that God had set them apart from all the nations of the world. They were a chosen people. They had the presence of God with them. And that mattered to them, that their God was with them. And it was important for them to be constantly realizing the presence of God and to be open to His word. And so when there was a trumpet blast in a certain way, the people came together before the tent of meeting. That was like a portable temple. It symbolized the presence of God in the midst of His people. And it was as He stood before the tent of meeting that Moses would deliver a word from the Lord. Quite often in times of challenge, quite often in times of controversy, to guide the people in the way that they should be going. But what is of supreme importance for us is to recognize that this togetherness was so important to God. That His people come together as an assembly. Because it was as they were together that they were a witness to the rest of the world. This people, realizing the presence of God, waiting upon the word of God, and living according to His word. They were a living witness to God and His truth. And that continued in the early days of the church. You know, this church in its very early days is described to us, and we read the descriptions of the very first church rather wistfully, don't we? In the Acts of the Apostles. And if you look at Acts chapter 2 at verse 42, we're told about these people who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. And if you go through that passage, it's amazing how often that word togetherness comes out. These were a people, they liked one another. They enjoyed being together. They ate together as well as worshipping together. And it was as a people together that they became a powerful witness. Later on in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the community around the early Christians were mightily impressed by them because of the quality of their lives. But no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded. Nevertheless, more and more people believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Just the mere fact that they were together as a people and the quality of their lives and the priority of worship in their lives, that drew people in. People could see the goodness. They could experience the love and say, well, I don't think I'm up to that. But then something within them made them realize that this is what they needed if they were to be fulfilled in their lives. The trumpets blasted and the people came together to realize the presence of God and to wait upon the word of God. And that's really what's happening in those letters that the apostles wrote in the early days. You know, they're sending a trumpet blast to the church in that moment because there were divisions, because there were departures from the truth, because there were problems with relationships within the community. The trumpet was being sounded to bring these people together again, together in the truth of the gospel, together in the love of Christ. And there comes a time in the life of every congregation and every denomination of God's people when we need to be aware of that blast coming, as it were, from heaven to help us to realize who we are. So the trumpet sounded in a particular way and the people came together, a feature of the people of God. And then we're told that there was a certain blast of the trumpet that was to announce the intention of God's people to move out, to break camp and to move forward. The journey was continuing, going forward into a new area completely. The trumpet announced that they were to move on towards the land that had been promised to them by Almighty God. And isn't that something that we need to heed? That God is constantly calling upon his people to move on, to see the needs that are around them in their communities, in their nation, in the world, and to go forward to meet those needs. Not following fads or trends, stuff like that, but to realize the deepest needs of the society around them and to move towards that, to live in this community, but also to be moving out and seeking to show signs of the kingdom in the world today. Is that not what Jesus did in his miracles? Is that not what the apostolic church did when they were seeking to put into practice the teaching of Jesus, actually to show the kingdom, as it were, in the present, and to point people forward in anticipation? You know, that was a feature of the people of God, even when they were on the move, even when they were journeying towards the promised land. Moses and the other leaders were constantly teaching the people what God had revealed to them and calling on them to put it into practice and to see that this process of renewal needed to go on within the community and within the individual lives of believers. And this is something that we need to take more seriously, friends. That there always are new ways for us to serve our God in this moment. There are always needs which are pressing upon people round about us, and it's important for us to move towards them as we journey towards the fulfillment of the kingdom. You know, I remember it just occurred to me the other day there. I don't know what I was thinking about at the time, but I remember a time in the early 1980s, I think it was, when the Women's Guild, as it was called at that time, took on a project. And it was quite a startling thing, really, when you think about it. But it was to set up support groups for women who were involved in what nowadays is called the sex industry and who had been damaged by that experience and were seeking a way out, a new way to travel. Now, it was quite controversial at the time, and I remember some members of the guild were quite unhappy with it. But I thought it was living the dream, in a sense. Meeting the need of people who needed to know that they were valued in the eyes of God, despite what had gone before, and to take them forward with us on our journey towards the kingdom. Those are the kind of challenges that we need to meet on our way forward. Not following fads and fashions, but realistically facing up to the challenges and gathering those people with us who are bruised and battered by life's experience and need to know fulfillment. Remember the words of Francis of Assisi after his quite powerful conversion. The first words in his tongue were, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Holy Spirit of God is always seeking to take us forward, to break new ground, and to show the kingdom of God in our own day. So the trumpet sounds and there's for togetherness. The trumpet sounds and there's a moving forward to new experience. And the trumpet sounds, we're told at verse 9, and the people are called to battle. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. That's more like it, isn't it? Whenever we're thinking of trumpets sounding, you know, it's usually a call to arms, isn't it? And it was quite literally the case for the people of God, because as we'll find out, there were times when they were attacked by hostile nations as they made their journey. And very often they had to defend themselves. They had to react against the physical danger. But it's imagery that many people are uncomfortable with in the church today. And you find that some of the old hymns which kind of emphasized the imagery of warfare are falling out of fashion just now within the church. But you know, and we were looking at this yesterday in the first of our Lent services. We have to realize, friends, that we are involved in a conflict, not with any one nation or any group of people. Paul tells us that we're involved in a spiritual conflict, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against dark powers, the spiritual powers in heavenly places, as Paul calls them, that are seeking to undermine the gospel, are seeking to dilute the truth of the gospel and seeking to cast a shadow over people's relationship with their God. And Paul calls upon men and women at his time, in his time, and for all times, to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, to put on the whole armour of God so that we're ready for the battle. And not just as victims, you know, they tend to think of the armour as being a defensive thing. But Paul says, you know, on our feet, we need the readiness to carry the good news of the gospel, the very important part of a Roman soldier's armoury. That he have these sandals with the studs where he could grip the ground, stand fast. Let that be part of your response to the darkness, says Paul. And put on the helmet of salvation. Guard your head. Make it difficult for the darkness to in any way influence you. This is a way forward in being strong in the Lord. And always keep a grip on your sword, says the apostle. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are the things we bring together in order to do battle with the powers of darkness. It's not just about holding things together and knuckling under until the storm has passed. That's not the way of the Christian soldier. Perhaps there is an aspect of holding together, but there's also at every time the imperative of bearing witness to what is true and what is loving and what is just. You know, there has been quite a lot of talk about Christians in our own nation being subject to persecution at this time because of the way that gospel values and tolerance of Christianity is being gradually eroded. I always remember the Archbishop of York's response to this, John Sintamu. He said, well, I don't know what's going on in our country just now, but it ain't persecution. And he was speaking from the point of view of a man who had experienced torture and imprisonment and ultimately banishment from Uganda when he was a young lawyer. He knew what it was to be persecuted physically. And he says, yes, there's stuff going on in our own land at the moment that makes it very difficult to be an Orthodox Christian, believing in the ancient truths and seeking to bring others to faith in those truths. But that's when we have to take to our hearts the words of another of the apostolic writers, Lindsay has preached to us from the book of Jude, the letter of Jude last week. And right at the very beginning of his letter, speaking to a community under pressure, he reminds them that one of their priorities is to contend for the faith. Don't just be happy, says Jude, having your own personal faith. Don't just be happy in sharing that faith with a group of people, no matter how much you love them and how comfortable you are with them. You have to contend for the faith, to stand up for Jesus in the midst of all the pressure that is upon us to abandon the truths of the gospel because perhaps they're not quite politically correct. And it is a very demanding struggle. There's no doubt about it. There are times when you just feel a bit fed up. When once again you're being called upon to defend those things that mean so much to you. But that's when my mind turns to Paul again, when he says, never grow weary in doing good. Never grow weary in your witness to what you know to be true. Contend for the faith, says the apostle. The trumpet sounds, And Paul says, if the trumpet has an uncertain sound, who can prepare for battle? It has a certain sound when we are called to do business with the darkness. So the trumpet sounds for togetherness, for moving forward, for battle. And finally, the trumpet sounds for rejoicing. You know, the verse 10 talks about times of rejoicing, appointed feasts, new moon festivals. Sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before God. Now, the feasts were generally a time of thanksgiving for all that God was, all that He'd done to enable His people to be forgiven and to walk in His will. New moon festivals are mentioned. They could take place at the beginning of every month. They certainly took place at the beginning of every year. But sometimes at the beginning of every month, and they were services of renewal for the people, when they would stand before Moses or some of the other leaders and receive teaching from God's word. The word that had been revealed to Moses and which had been established to shape and mold the lives of the people. And God says to Moses, this is a time when the trumpet should be sounded to enable you to celebrate everything that has been done for you by me. I am the Lord your God, he says, in summing up that particular instruction. These are times when you celebrate your God, when you receive his word, when you know the power of renewal within yourself. And you know, there's a sense in which we're coming full circle here, because what I hear the Lord saying here in these instructions to his people is that you should be coming together as a people and enjoying the sense of worship amongst you. Coming together to express everything that you feel concerning your God. To celebrate what he's done for you. To remember. It's an important element here. To remember the things that have been done for you. Because it's here, friends, in a sense, as we're gathered here tonight, as we gather in the Lord's Day, this is really the powerhouse of the community of Christ. I once remember reading a Roman Catholic writer. His name is Henry Nouwen. And he speaks about worship being the center of the Christian life. Without that center, then you don't have a Christian life. Because it's only as you move out from this center, into your home, into your community, into your work, into your nation, that you can be strong to bear witness to your God. That you have a message to share, that the Spirit has been working in your life to produce the love of Christ, which can be extended to those in need. We don't have the trumpets to remind us of all these things, but thanks be to God, we have His Word that establishes for us these principles that enable us to be his people as we are journeying towards the fulfillment of his promise of the kingdom at the end of all things. He calls upon us to show signs of the kingdom as we come together as God's people, as we move forward into new areas of challenge, as we are willing to do battle for the ancient truths, as we rejoice in everything that's been done for us by God through His Son Jesus. And let's pray that that image of the people of God will be realized in our midst. Let's pray. God our Father, thank you that you place before us your mind concerning our role as your people. Help us to realize it, to feed upon your word for our guidance, for our strength. Bless us all in whatever part we play for your glory, and sustain us as your people to the end. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.